The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a parsha or an entire sefer, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
The end of Parashas Vayechi relates the deaths of Yaakov and Yosef and the fact that they were both embalmed. The Torah says, "Vayitzav Yosef es avadav es harofim lachanot es aviv, vayachantu harofim es Yisrael." Yosef ordered his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Yisrael. Later, Yosef himself dies, and he's embalmed. Vayamas Yosef ben meyavo esher shonim, vayachantu oso. They embalmed Yosef. Here, the Torah doesn't say who embalmed him, on whose orders. With regard to Yaakov, however, it was Yosef's servants on Yosef's orders. It seems that Yosef himself thought that embalming was a good idea to honor his father. Our scroll has this to say about this embalming. Embalming was an Egyptian custom based on the teachings of the nation's idolatrous beliefs. Under Torah law, however, it is strictly forbidden. The Torah requires that the body be permitted to decompose naturally, as quickly as possible and without impediment. The soul rises to God, but its physical habitat, which had been taken from the earth, returns to its source, as God told Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust shall you return." So our scroll says that embalming, according to halacha, is strictly forbidden. This is not really correct. The truth is that for most of the history of halacha, or for thousands of years, there is no serious halachic discussion of whether embalming is mutter or not. The Gesher HaChaim, writing in the mid-20th century, says, "Im kedai lachnot meis Yisrael, is it appropriate to embalm a deceased Jew? Hisvakchu bazeh gedolei achronim ugedolei rabbani hadar hacholef." It's a relatively recent debate among the rabbanim of the previous generation, the early 20th century, and it's not entirely clear. Most poskim are against embalming, although for a variety of different reasons, and even those who prohibit it don't agree on the reason. They give different reasons. They don't agree with each other's reasons. Moreover, even those who prohibit embalming often do allow it when necessary. Artscroll itself really concedes the point. Artscroll goes on to say, if embalming is strictly forbidden, why did Yosef do it? So one reason they give is because there was a long mourning period in Mitzrayim, Vayivku Oso Mitzrayim Shivim Yom, 70 days, and then they had to go to Eretz Canaan, a long journey, before they had airplanes, in a warm climate. The body would have decomposed. That would have been itself a bizayon for the mace. So they had to embalm it. And contemporary poskim too, even those who are against embalming in the general case, often will allow it when necessary, if there are no other solutions, as we'll see. The poskim give three reasons why embalming is problematic, three main reasons. One is nivul hamace or bizayon hamace. It's a desecration of the mace, it's disgraceful, it's not respectful to the mace to cut him open and take parts out and tamper with the integrity of the body. Second reason given is bittul mitzvas kvura. You're not burying the mace properly if you're taking parts out and cutting him up instead of just putting him in the ground properly. Third reason is embalming is meant to preserve the body, so it shouldn't decay. But this is similar to what Artscroll says, the Torah wants the body to decay. The poskim talk about the idea that there are some sources, some early sources, that the kapara of the mace hinges on the decomposition of the basar, or that the mace feels tsar, the mace feels pain until the basar is nisakel, basaro alav yichav, calls mancha basaro alav, the mace feels pain, and he doesn't have his full kapara. So by preventing the body from decomposing, you're postponing his kapara and you're extending his tsar. These are the three reasons, as we'll see, the poskim give. And again, these reasons are not universally agreed on. Before we get to the discussion of the poskim, let's consider first what some of the early poskim and some of the early commentators, Midrashim, Rishonim, have said about what exactly does embalming mean in this context. Part of the problem with this discussion is that embalming can mean different things, and many commentators understand embalming differently, refer to different types of embalming. So what actually happened to Yaakov and Yosef? So there are some sources, Midrash, Abarbanel, that embalming is similar, the embalming of Yaakov and Yosef was similar to the embalming that people do today. There's a Midrash Agada that says that when a king died, That's what they did apparently to Yaakov and Yosef. They were chotchin es kreso. They cut the stomach, the abdomen open. Motzin es b'nei me'av. They removed the intestines. And this would prevent decay of the body. Abarbanel follows this approach. He explains in some detail. Chanata, embalming, is the removal of the brain, hamoach, halev, the heart, hakaved, the liver, me'ayim, the intestines, hamaroros, mitoch haguf. And then they apply chemicals, spices, shemen afarsimon, and they pour the stuff inside and outside, and they replace the stuff every day, and eventually the body hardens, and it retains the same form, bli shinui ever. It looks like the body, while it was alive, just hardened and doesn't decay, as if he's sleeping, ki'ilu yashen, lo yis'apesh, lo yisrach. People don't find it disgusting. It seems like a very natural state. People don't find such a mace off-putting. Eventually, though, he says, the basar and the aor do disintegrate. Imze ha-basar v'ha-aor yutchu ma'at ma'at. They go away until all you're left with is bones. As proof of this, he says, Yosef was also embalmed, and later it says, when they left Egypt, it says, Ve'ikach Moshe satzmos Yosef. He took the bones of Yosef, only the bones were left, because the embalming, even though it preserves the body, but eventually the soft tissue does disappear, evaporate, whatever happens to it, and you're left with just bones. So this is the position of some of the early sources, Drashim, the Abarbanel. Embalming is similar to the embalming today. It's a somewhat intrusive process. The body is cut open, parts are removed, chemicals are added, which preserve the body and prevent it from decaying. Many Acharonim, however, bring the Zohar. The Zohar says, Chas v'shalom, that they would tamper with Yaakov's body like this. Rather, the Zohar says they introduced these spices through the belly. Chasam Sofer explains in a tshuva that when a person is alive, his mouth is open, his oral cavity is passable, and his belly is closed. But when he dies, he goes back to the state as though he were an infant, where the oral passage is not passable, but the belly is open. Not sure exactly what that means and whether we recognize this as being correct according to our modern understanding of pre- and post-mortem physiology, but that's what Chasam Sofer says, that's what the Zohar means. They put in this stuff, the spices or the whatever chemicals they're using through the belly, but they didn't actually cut the body open. The truth is, there are some Mefarshim who say that some form of embalming was done in general to all Malchei Yisrael, not just Yaakov and Yosef. The Radak says that the term Srefa is frequently used in Tanakh with regard to Malchei Yisrael. Chazal seem to have understood that Srefa meant they burned the utensils of the mace, they burned the kalim of the mace. Radak says, though, that he thinks that Srefa refers to Chanata, embalming is called Srefa because it causes even though it preserves the body, but perhaps as we saw in the Abarbanel, it also causes the tissue eventually to disintegrate, so the embalming is called Srefa. Tosus Yontif and Psachim follows this Radak, follows the Abarbanel. He says that Malachim were commonly, the Jewish kings were commonly embalmed. Many of the commentators ask on the Tosus Yontif, they say, what happened to the fact that you're being Gorim Tsar, you're causing him pain by preventing decomposition? They say, no, on the contrary, the Tosus Yontif, following the Radak, seems to be saying embalming causes the tissue to decay. So on the contrary, you're hastening the decay, so you're reducing his Tsar. Be that as it may, the Radak, the Tosus Yontif, they say that embalming was a common procedure done to kings, and the Abarbanel says it was actually done by cutting him open. So many of the Mefarshim, not like the Zohar, seem to understand that embalming was a procedure, with a pretty intrusive procedure, by which the mace would be opened up, parts were removed, and chemicals were added. And the truth is, this seems to be the position of the Rashba too. The Rashba says that the embalmers would open the mace, would cut him open, hachanutin karinoso, they would tear the mace open and take out the intestines. The Rashba makes this comment in the context of a tshuva where he is discussing essentially cremation. Not cremation via fire, but chemical cremation. They would put lye or lime on the body to cause the soft tissue to decay. The Rashba wants to know if that's allowed. The specific case was they had to carry the mace a long distance to the Kever Avos where he wanted to be buried. And the question was that if they carried the mace normally, the mace would decay and that would be problematic. Could they use lye to burn away the soft tissues? And the Rashba says, yes, no problem. There's no bizayon ha-mace. There's no tzara of the mace. And he says that the chanutim would do this. The chanutim would tear open the mace and take out the intestines. The Radvaz explains that what the Rashba means, he means to bring a raya from Yaakov and Yosef. You see that embalming is mutter. You see that whatever you need to do for the cover of the mace is mutter, and there's no bizayin, there's no tsar, the mace doesn't fail it. The Gemara discusses whether a mace fails tsar or not. Tsar of an Ismail, tsar of a knife. The Radvaz explains the Rashba means to follow the opinion that the mace does not fail anything. Similarly, there's no bizayin. So the Rashba and the Radvaz are saying that embalming is mutter, there's no problem with cutting open the mace. Beyond what the Zohar says, you can actually cut open the mace, take out the mayayim. That's what they did to Yaakov and Yosef, and there's no problem, at least if it is for the cover of the mace. Some understand the Rashba and the Rashba to mean even if it's not a question of cover of mace, inherently there's nothing wrong with embalming, there's nothing wrong with cremation even. The Machta Shekel says that in Hilchos Shabbos it talks about whether you can save a mace from a fire, from a conflagration. Can you carry him out where there's an Isser of Hotzah? Magen Avraham says, well, you don't really need to because there's no Bizayin HaMeis if the mace gets burned up. What do you mean there's no Bizayin HaMeis? The mace getting burned is not a Bizayin. Machta Shekel says, no, you have a Rashba who says that the tampering with the bodily integrity of a mace is not a Bizayin for the mace. Others disagree with the Machta Shekel. They say that in the Rashba's case it was only the soft tissue that was being burned, but the bones were being preserved, and it's a bitl mitzvah of Kura anyway, another concern we're going to discuss. And this is before Matan Torah, some poskim say, happened to bring a raya from this, but I'll call the Rashba says that the Rashba doesn't seem to be concerned about the fact that Yaakov and Yosef were before Matan Torah. He proves from the Chanata, as explained by the Radvaz, he proves from the embalming of Yaakov and Yosef that such type of intrusive procedures do not violate, do not cause bizayin ha-meis, do not cause tsar for the meis, and therefore they are mutter. And the Rashba also seems to have understood, at least as understood by the Radvaz, that the Chanata of Yaakov and Yosef involved Kurinoso, actually tearing him open, not like the Zohar, Matzi and Me'ehen. And so many of these Mepharshim seem to understand that the embalming done to Yaakov and Yosef was the intrusive kind, involving opening the abdominal cavity and removing tissue, and it was nevertheless mutter. On the other hand, there's a tshuva of Rabbi Yedidya Tia Vail, the son of the Karbon Asano. He was asked, an interesting case, he was asked about, there was a murder, a non-Jew had murdered a Jew, and the Jews wanted to open a criminal complaint, open an investigation to punish the murderer. The problem was, this would involve an autopsy. The government would have to make sure of the cause of death, make sure he wasn't a trefa, make sure that this is actual murder. The question was, is an autopsy kedai in this case? This is a point discussed by later poskim too. He's one of the first to discuss this. So he says, on the one hand, he wants to bring a raya from Yaakov and Yosef that you see embalming his mutter as long as that's covered a mace, that tampering with the mace's body, if it's being done for a reason of covered, is fine. So autopsy too would be mutter. That's also a mitzvah, just like it's covered a mace to preserve the body, it's covered a mace to catch, it's the rutzen a mace to catch the murderer. On the other hand, he says, you have the Zohar. The Zohar says, chas v'shalom, they didn't actually open the body, they just put chemicals in, but they didn't tamper with the bodily integrity. So then there's no raya that you can do the autopsy either. So if you did the Tiavail, he starts by assuming, like the Barbanel, like the Rashba, that the Chanata here was classic Chanata involving tampering with the integrity of the body, and it's still mutter, at least if it's covered a mace. But his maskana is that there's no raya to be mater, because you have the Zohar that the embalming here did not really involve, the embalming of Yaakov and Yosef did not actually involve opening the abdominal cavity. So what is the halacha of embalming? As we've said, what is the halacha? Is it mutter to embalm a deceased Jewish person or not? So this is a discussion that really began, all these other poskim were discussing it incidentally. The primary discussion, front and center of can you embalm the remains of a Jew, begins in the early 20th century, the 30s or so. So in the Tshuvas Emek Halacha of Rav Baumel, he says it is usher. He discusses the reasons, he brings both reasons of Nivul HaMeis and preventing the decomposition, which prevents the kapara and causes tsar. Nivul HaMeis, he says, is debatable because, as we've seen, he says Nivul is contextual, it depends what your goal is. If you're doing it l'chvodo, to preserve him, to prevent him from decaying, from decomposing inappropriately, that might be okay. However, this other problem that by preventing the equal is a bad thing because kapara depends on equal and you're postponing or preventing his kapara. So because of that, he concludes absolutely that it's usher and that a Jewish person must not be embalmed. The Kolbo and Avelis, Rav Greenwald, he's actually not so concerned with Ikul. He says that it's not so clear that Kapara is really totally on Ikul. The early sources are conflicted on this, he says, and it's not so clear that that is an issue of Ikul, preventing Ikul prevents Kapara. However, the other reason he is concerned about, Nevel he thinks is a problem, because it's true, the Rashba and others, he says, are lenient when it comes to doing something that you need to do for cover to the mace, but that's where it's the only option. If this is the best thing for the mace, you can do it. He says, today, you don't usually need to do that. If you really want to preserve the mace, there are other things you can do, he says. He says that you can just put him in the coffin, and then it'll avoid any question of Sirchan. There are other ways of doing it, he says, if you need to prevent the decomposition, he says. There are other aitzes, there are other types of embalming, which are less intrusive, he says. Something called freezing, which involves putting chemicals in without actually removing tissue and cutting them open. He says, you don't really need to do this type of intrusive cutting up of the mace, and therefore if you do so, it's gratuitous, and it would actually be a problem of Nivula mace. In a footnote in the Kalbo, he brings an interesting discussion about a ruling of Rav Chaim Yitzchak Bloch, a noted posik of the time, Rav and I based in Jersey City. It was reported in a certain newspaper that he allowed embalming. Rav Greenwald felt this was a remarkable kula, so he actually got in touch with Rav Bloch, and he said, is it true that you allowed embalming? So Rav Bloch said, as often happens, he was misquoted. He did not say exactly what the newspaper said. He was taken out of context. He says, I didn't write anything. It was a conversation I had with another Rav. I told this Rav that it's situational, that sometimes chanita is a good thing, it's permitted. If it's not done l'navel ames, adrab, it's done sometimes to avoid reach ra, to avoid inappropriate decomposition where the mace will smell bad. In such a case, it's mutter. We find other areas of nivel ames are situational, as the Emek Halacha said, halonas ames, you don't normally keep a mace unburied overnight, but if it's l'chvodo, if you need to do it for the mace is covered, you can do it. So here too, he says that if embalming in a situation where it will maximize covered mace and minimize bizarre mace, then it would be mutter. If you take out blood, he says, you should bury that blood. He said, this is what I told the Rav in an oral conversation. It was reported in the newspaper that I was mater embalming in a general way, without context, without nuance, he says. I actually told the reporter, I explained to the reporter what the context was, he says, but the reporter, Bishkago Bemezid, refused to add this nuance. The reporter insisted on saying, Rav Bloch allows embalming. And he didn't discuss the context. Rav Bloch didn't say what he would say about embalming in a general case. He insisted that he didn't want to issue a blanket heter about embalming. He didn't say he was ostering embalming in a blanket way either. He just said the specific comments I made about embalming were that it was mutter in a case where it would be in the best interest of the mace. Beyond that, he didn't say anything. The Kalbo says, Al Kalpanim Gam Hagon Amahul Hazeh, even Rav Bloch, Lo Heter Chanita Beferish. He refused to issue a blanket ruling allowing embalming. So, again, all these poskim are reluctant to permit embalming in a general way. So far, our article in that sense is correct, that none of the poskim like embalming. Rav Baumol and Emek Halacha prohibits it because of your postponing the decomposition, similar to what our article says. The Kalbo himself, Rav Greenwald, is concerned with Nivula Mace, and the Rav Bloch is a little cagey. He allows it when necessary, but he doesn't want to be matir in general. The Emek Halacha also brings a tshuva from the Ragachover. He apparently asked the Ragachover about embalming. The Ragachover repeatedly says, Chas v'shalom, if you have a mace shalom, a Jewish mace shalom, chas v'shalom, to start cutting him up and removing tissue, the Ragachover seems to think that the problem is, his tshuvas are notoriously hard to understand, but he seems to think the problem is that it's mevatel mitzvahs kvura. Somehow embalming is a violation of the mitzvah of kvura. I don't really understand why. You take some tissue out, you cut them open, but you bury all of it. Cremation, many poskim felt the primary problem was, is a bitul of mitzvah kvura, because you're burning him, you're not burying him. The Milchas Pitim, Rav Meir Arik, actually asked this on the Rashba of the Machta Shekel, how can you say that burning a mace is fine, if there's no problem in allowing a mace to be burned? What happened to the mitzvah of kvura? There's a mitzvah to bury the mace, not burn him. Embalming, I'm not sure what the problem is. As long as you take all the tissue and bury it, I'm not sure why it's a bitul mitzvah kvura. So the Ragachover, though, says that's the problem. If the mace is an intact mace shalem, or rove of the mace is intact, and you start cutting him up to embalm him, that's chas v'shalom to do that, because that's a bitul of a mitzvah of kvura. However, he says, if you don't cut him up, rak derech nekavim, If the embalming just involves, through the orifices of the body, putting in chemicals, shaper dami, that, the Ragachara says, is fine. Again, he doesn't seem very concerned about postponing Ikel. He doesn't get into postponing Ikel, doesn't mention anything about postponing Ikel. His primary concern seems to be tampering with the integrity of the body, and his problem with that seems to be that it's a violation of the mitzvah of Kfura. Akalpanim, he says, there is a method of embalming, that's okay. If you're not going to actually cut the body, you're just going to inject chemicals, that could be fine. Halacha l'maisa, the Gesher HaChaim's Hachra, what he says the minhag is, he says that if you have to carry the mace to another city, and it's a day or two journey, mahalach yoma yamayim, and it's hot, then he says we do some kind of embalming, we do pu'ula malachutit, some kind of artificial technique to prevent the mace, ke'en chanita, to prevent the mace from decaying, to prevent rikuvo, v'zirchono, we insert via the air, he says, derech ha'af or derech ha'tavar, through the belly, we do insert these chemicals, afarsimon and samim, but we don't take out the blood. If, however, we have to go far away, derech rechoka, like America, the Yerushalayim, this may have been before air travel was convenient, I'm not sure if he was talking about a ship, or air travel just took much longer back then he says, then we do actually remove the blood, motzitzin b'mishava mechanit, we use some kind of mechanical pump to remove the blood and the lachluchis and other liquids, he says, but we don't take out the intestines, we don't allow lahotzi kravav, we don't allow removal of the actual tissue, just the liquids and the dam, and then we inject the samim to harden the body, so we do whatever we have to do, depending on the situation, we do whatever we have to do to prevent sirchon, to prevent rotting, to prevent too early decomposition, depending on how long it's going to take, we use a more or less intrusive form of embalming. So he actually says that it's mutter, although again, we don't do it gratuitously, but we do it if necessary. Regarding burying the tissue that we take out, so the Gesher HaChaim says that you really should take all that tissue. You don't take out the tissue itself, you don't take out the kerbayim, the intestines, but you do take out blood and liquids, but you should bury that. Even though he says, according to most poskim, blood that leaves the body after death doesn't really need kvura. The minhag is we do it, but he says it's only a hider. He said that's dam that came out by itself. But if you do it using a pump, if you do it deliberately, actively, he says, that really is appropriate to do kvura, so whatever you take out should be preserved and you should put it in a jar, he says, and send it along with the body to be buried wherever the body is eventually going to be buried. One last point. Up till now, we've been assuming that Yosef did the right thing in embalming his father. Certainly, we would give Yosef the benefit of the doubt and say that whatever he did was correct, whatever the reason is. There is actually a Midrash Rabbah, though, that brings Machlokas. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi actually is that that Yosef was wrong and Yosef was punished. The Midrash says, Lama meis Yosef b'fnei Achav? Why did Yosef die earlier than his brothers? Rebbe v'Rabbanan. Rebbe says, because he embalmed his father. The Rabbanan say, no, it's because he heard Yehuda refer to Yaakov as Avdechav. He didn't say anything. That's the better known reason. That's the Shita of the Rabbanan. But Rebbe's Shita is, he was punished for embalming his father. However, the Midrash explains, it wasn't because he did an Avera called embalming. It was specifically because Yosef was, because Yaakov was a tzaddik and Yaakov didn't need embalming. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo ha-yisi yachal lishmer et tzaddikai, Yaakov is a tzaddik, you don't think that I take care of tzaddikim, that they don't decay, al tiri talas Yaakov, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, al tiri talas Yaakov, we darshan al tiri talas es Yaakov, you don't have to worry about decaying. So that's why Yosef was punished. He should have had more bitachon, he should have trusted that Hashem would not cause the body of Yaakov to decay. Dor Chaim HaKadosh actually discusses at some length why Yosef felt he had to embalm Yaakov. Didn't he know that a tzaddik wouldn't decay? Gives various reasons. He said maybe Yosef didn't exactly know that. He has other reasons why he did it. He didn't want the Mitzrayim to think that Yaakov was a god, and that's why he wasn't decaying, and then they wouldn't let him leave Egypt. Various reasons he gives. But I'll call upon him. Rebbe Shita in the Midrash is that's why Yosef was punished for not having bitachon, for embalming Yaakov. But the Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan say, what do you mean? Yaakov himself asked to be embalmed. That's a tremendous chiddush. Up till now, we've been saying Yosef did it. The Rabbanan and the Midrash say that actually Yaakov asked for it, because later the Pasuk says, Vayasu banav lo, as he commanded. It says in general that Yaakov's children did to him as he had instructed. The Midrashim give different explanations of what exactly the Hesped or other things, what exactly they did, the carrying him to Eretz Yisrael, what was Kasher Tzivim, but the Midrash here is saying, the Rabbanim say, no, that included the embalming. They did exactly as he commanded, including embalming. So there was nothing wrong with the embalming. And the reason Yosef died early was because of the Avdecha, because he heard Avdecha Avi and didn't protest. But Al Kalpanim, Rebbe says that the embalming was wrong. But again, Rebbe isn't saying embalming was wrong in general. It was specifically wrong with regard to Yaakov, since Yaakov was a tzaddik, and the Torah says, Al Tiri Talas Yaakov, that Yosef should have had more bitachon than Hashem would not cause Yaakov to decay, even absent any embalming.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.